Welcome back. It is game night. Canada hopefully will put an end to the World Cup tonight against Europe. And the Montreal Canadiens take on the Ottawa Senators. And for a lot of Canadiens fans, because you weren't in London watching the rookie tournament like Campbell and McKenna were, you're going to see Sergachev for the first time in a Canadiens jersey.
I'm kind of nervous and for sure excited.
All right. So that's what's happening tonight. Plus the Blue Jays try to get back in the win column. A lot going on tonight. Along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock. Andrew Shaw has been suspended for 3 games, exhibition only. I think that's what's called a good suspension for a veteran player.
Ray Ferraro on Melnick in the Afternoon. Brought to you by Wrangler's Advanced Comfort Jeans. The most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear, guaranteed. Do like Carey Price and choose Wrangler's Advanced Comfort Jeans.
In St. Catharines, Ontario, on his way to a Maple Leaf Sabres preseason matchup. How are you, Ray?
I'm doing well. My driver, Gord Miller, is doing an outstanding job navigating the traffic.
Oh, this will be interesting. There's no way he's keeping his mouth closed while you're talking to us.
He's not going to get 15 minutes through this, is he?
Man, he had his 15 minutes yesterday. That's not enough, though. He's kind of used to 25.
Well, there's always opinions to be shared. That's why the car is a good place.
First off, Andrew Shaw gets that 3-game suspension. I think we all saw it and said, yeah, you know, you can't do that. But man, if you're a veteran player, I understand he's in a new environment. Is that you don't care? Do you really care?
No, I thought the suspension was a joke, actually. Like, what difference does that suspend him 3 games? It doesn't cost him anything. He's allowed to practice with the team, so he can, you know, yeah, he's not going to play in the 3 exhibition games, but he wasn't going to probably play all 3 of them anyway.
Right.
You know, you can't very well determine which 3 he was going to play, so he'll miss the next 3 games, and so that means he probably is really missing 1. It doesn't cost him any money. It's a non-suspension suspension, really.
Habs announced, by the way, Charles Udon gets Andrew Shaw's lineup spot tonight.
With Desharnais and Carr.
So you could put Udon back in the lineup. And it's funny because that's a spot that could be open, that side, with Desharnais and Carr.
Well, for Udon, who cares where the opportunity comes from or why it's there? You know, if the door swings open a little bit for you or for one of the other players, just try and take advantage of the opportunity, because it might not be there in 3 or 4 days.
Well, Ray, let me ask you about that, because there are a bunch of these kids who are kind of on the bubble. I know it's hard for you because that's what this preseason is about for them specifically, is try to elbow each other out of the way. If you're trying to project ahead, assuming they all have the relatively same kind of camps, how do you ultimately decide? Do you have a more favorable opinion of one ahead of the other? I'm talking about Lehkonen, Hudon, McCarron, Carr, maybe. Well, I think Carr's on the team, but another.
Well, I mean, Carr did, you know, Carr really stood out to me last year as someone that I would have a leg up on the other guys. McCarron's size makes him an outlier to that group. You know, I guess when you get down to picking individual spots, which is essentially what's going to happen, the coach and the management staff, they look at what best fits in that particular spot. And it might not be the player that we all might think perform to the highest level. It might be the player that can fulfill that role the best, because one player might not fit in the role that they're looking for at that time or at that, you know, at the beginning of the season. They might be looking for a more rambunctious player. They might be looking for a bigger player. They might be looking for a penalty killer. They might be looking for a guy on the power play. You know, so it'll all depend on how the rest of the lineup shakes out and how happy they are with it. And that might even determine part of the final decision.
Based on what you've seen, mostly at the World Junior Hockey Championships, tell us what you feel about both Hudon and Lehkonen.
Well, I like Hudon's tenacity. He's seems to be a player that would be versatile, can play across your forward lines, and probably play him on both sides if you need be. He'll I think he's got a little bit of finish to him. I don't think he's, you know, that'll be what he's known for. Laikkanen is he's pesky. He can shoot the puck. Not particularly big, but not at all shy. I would say that if the battle came between those two, I guess you'd probably take into. I would probably have Udon a half a step ahead, I guess. But if they went the other way, based on how Lekkonen played the other night, I guess I wouldn't be too surprised.
Do these players, and I know you can't speak to this situation precisely, but generally speaking, do these players have a blank slate with the coach, or does a coach have kind of a built-in opinion based on what he's heard, or based on their stats, or based on a scouting report, and it might be tough for a player to kind of break through that biased opinion?
No, the coach probably doesn't, because for the most part, they haven't seen a whole lot of the players. The management might. The management might have a... in pencil pecking order, if you will, because they, you know, they've scouted them, they've drafted them, they've watched them way more than the coaches have. In a lot of cases, for young players, training camp's the first time a coach has seen a lot of these guys. Certainly for any extended period of time, they might have seen them a game here or a game there when they catch an American League somewhere. But man, you ask an NHL coach about a player in the NHL on another team, in another conference, they don't even know who those guys are. They're so focused narrowly on their own team that, you know, they don't have a great resource to see anybody else, and that would apply for sure to the younger players.
Ray Ferraro on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:35, along with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick with you, Pierre McGuire after 5, Pierre LeBrun onside at the World Cup after 6. Mitch?
Ray, a word is that if Laikkanen does not make the Canadians, they don't have the option of sending him down to the American Hockey League. He's going to return and play in Frölunda in Sweden. How does that complicate things, if at all?
I don't think at all. You're not going to keep... If you're not going to keep him, it's because you don't think he's ready. So the fact that he would go back to Sweden would be it wouldn't complicate things at all. I mean, that's, you're not going to keep a guy if he's not ready just because the option is to go to Europe and not to the American League. It would be the same as keeping a player because he has to go back to junior, and you know in your heart of hearts he's not ready to play in the NHL, but you don't want him to go back to junior, so you're going to keep him and not play him very much. I mean, that to me is as short-sighted as it possibly can be. I know the game in Sweden is not the same as the game here, but I don't see it as a factor that would determine changing your course of action.
Curious, are you thinking about Marner when you're talking about junior players?
Oh, Dylan Strome's going to be another one in Arizona. Marner looked so good the other night, but that was the first preseason game, and we know the games are going to get a little stiffer as they move along. Marner would be a player, though. You know, he had 44 points, I think, in 18 playoff games. Offensively, it doesn't look like there's much left for him to do in the Ontario League. Yet, if there's no consensus that he's ready to play, then why would you keep him so he can practice? That really doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I don't see any way that Marner, I guess there is a path that he would start the year in junior, but I'm almost certain that I have my head around the fact he's probably going to start in Toronto, and then they're going to determine what the plan of action will be as he plays, and if he plays well, then they'll keep him past 9 games, and if not, then he goes back. And I don't know too many players that have had their development slowed by going to junior. I know a lot of players that just get overwhelmed at the NHL level and they go backwards, some never to recover.
Finishing up with Ray Ferraro on the road in St. Catharines, Ontario, on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. So knowing how the Toronto media is, I got to ask you, what was more impressive the other day? Tim Tebow hitting a home run on the first pitch in the Instructional League in the Mets organization, or Austin Matthews back from the World Cup breaking the glass with a shot in practice?
Oh, Tebow's home run for sure. Matthews missed the net. Right? right? Like hit the net.
Yeah, I know. I was just kind of making fun of the Toronto hype. That's all.
Oh, I was. I mean, you know. Oh, must see. You got to see this. Even he said, "Well, I missed the net. It was a bad shot."
Is he playing tonight? Do you guys?
There's not going to be anything that kid's going to do that's not going to be under a microscope.
Right.
But isn't it interesting? In a year, William Nylander is not even spoken about, and it's probably good for William.
Right.
Here, you know, he can go play, and everybody's not dissecting every move like he's going to be the franchise savior. Because 11 months after he was supposed to be the savior, they got another one, and I'm sure. In his case, it's probably a good thing.
Will you guys be seeing Matthews tonight, or is he in tomorrow? Do you know?
No, he's playing tomorrow. Okay. Nylander plays tonight.
Okay.
So we saw Marner the other night. And like I said, he played very well. And so this will be Nylander actually playing against his brother, Alex, who's going to play for Buffalo for the first time tonight.
Almost done here. I just want to take you back to the Habs briefly.
You know, it'd be a great opportunity to play with a guy like that, but I think, you know, skating is one of my better assets. So, you know, if that's something that they believe will be, you know, the best fit for the team, you know, I'm open to doing that for sure.
A lot of eyebrows raised yesterday at practice, Ray. Jeff Petrie playing the left side, not on the power play, playing the left side. He was asked, do you think they're doing this to maybe pair you with Shea Weber? And you heard his response. Why is it a big deal? It's a big deal because he's never played it in his career, so, and it's hard not to notice, so you're going to ask him about it. But why on the surface is it so unusual and apparently more difficult for a right-handed shooting defenseman to go over to the left side than the other way around?
That I can answer for you. The second part of that, I don't know why left-handed shots can play on the right side, but right shots rarely play on the left. I really don't have an answer for you there. You know, there's very obvious complications to playing your offside. You know, when the puck gets dumped into the zone, you know, your number one play really in a lot of cases is going to be on your forehand as you chase the puck back. You just can shoot it around the board. It's difficult to turn and see the ice. Lots of times on a D-to-D pass, you're going to have to receive it on your backhand, pivot, and then pass it on your forehand. You know, guys forecheck as hard as they ever have, so there's less time to be had. If you can skate and you're clever, then you got a chance at it. But I would take a look at it for sure. I know, you know, Mike Babcock a few years ago that, you know, made it clear on the Olympic team that, you know, they wanted left and rights, and it seems to be even more of a big deal as the last few years have moved along.
On a scale of, let's say, 1 to 10, and if it's 1 to 10 is not a large enough scale, you can go further. Where would you rank P.K. Subban among NHL defensemen?
Where would I, Subban, gosh, I wish I would have had a head up on this.
There's a reason.
No, I'm trying to be fair here. He's...
There's a specific reason
not,
why
not
I
not in the top 15.
He's not in the top 15?
Oh, I don't think so.
P.K. Subban? Is this Ray or Gord Miller?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that's why I would like to, you know, I can't quickly go through the, you know, enough defensemen to give you. I'm not talking about who's more exciting or who's going to put up more points, but is. Yeah, I mean, I would say in that range, sure.
In the top 15, but not in the top
10. 15, 16, no, not in the top 10. Not for me.
Wow. That's what happens when you hang around Gord Miller.
Well, I mean, you can blame lots of things on Gord.
All right, we'll pick up on this on Tuesday.
Okay, I'll do a little research
for you. Enjoy the show tonight, and have a great weekend.
Yeah, you guys too. See ya.
Bye-bye. Miller's laughing his ass off. I guarantee you, right?
Yeah, while Ray was dancing verbally.
Oh, I'm nasty.
Ray Ferraro on Melnick in the Afternoon. Brought to you by Wrangler's Advanced Comfort Jeans. The most comfortable.